I want us to look here at John chapter 5 this morning, and we're going to read verses 1 through 15 to begin, I think, so you can get the whole story. John chapter 5, verses 1 through verse number 15. I know you just sat down, but let me ask you if you can to stand again physically if you're able to, and we're just going to read these scriptures together. We find in the book of Ezra when they read the book of the law, they read the books of Moses to the congregation, all the people stood. And certainly we can take that as being respect for the Word of God. And I believe it's good when we do that. John chapter 5, and let's look at verses 1 through 15. The Bible says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I ask you to use it this morning to stir our hearts, to prick us, to convict us, to challenge us. Lord, help us to care. Help us to care. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We read here in this passage of Scripture about a man that was with an infirmity, the Bible said there in verse 5, for 38 years. He was just one of actually a great multitude of sick people that was lying there on the porches, just filled with people there by the pool of Bethesda. Again, notice the first three verses of the story. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Try to imagine with me, if you would, the pool of Bethesda being surrounded by five porches. Five levels of porches surrounding this pool of Bethesda. And those porches just being filled with multitudes of people that were sick. Multitudes of people that had infirmity. Multitudes of people with diseases. Five porches. Five levels. Five decks filled with people that were sick and that were all hoping to be healed. The name Bethesda means house of mercy. The pool of Bethesda was a place of mercy. And it was to this place that Jesus came. These were people here that I think were important to Jesus. Well, they were sick people. They were diseased people. They were unlovely people by some standards. But they were people that Jesus loved and cared about. And that's where he came to. One preacher told the story of a time when he was visiting a children's hospital where sick children were being cared for. And the pastor was there to speak for an Easter program. During the program, one of the boys got up and quoted the entire chapter here of John 5. He had memorized and quoted all 47 verses. The pastor said that said the boy only made one mistake in the whole chapter in verse 3. Instead of saying impotent folk, the boy had said that on those five porches lay a great multitude of important folk. Important folk. And the preacher said he realized after, you know what, the boy was right in the sense that they were important folk. They were important people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It may have seemed like an error, but yet it was true because they do matter and they are important to Jesus. Think about this pool and these porches here. The pool of mercy, but yet the porches filled with people that were sick. It was not a pleasant place. It was not a pleasant place. Verse 3, it says, in these lay a multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. It was filled with a multitude of sick people. Listen, a lot of times people don't like to go to a place that's filled with sick people. They don't like to go to a place that's crowded with sick people where diseases could be spread and germs could be spread. And, oh, I'd rather not go there. I don't want to be in the hospital, or I don't want to be in that residence where there's a lot of sick people. I don't want to be in that infirmary. I wouldn't want to go there. Lots of times people might think that way, but Jesus cared to go to where these sick people were. Imagine it, the porches just filled with people that were impotent. People that were totally disabled. People that were blind and could not see. People that were halt, meaning they were lame or they were crippled. People that were withered, meaning they were shriveled or decayed or rotting away. People with diseases. People that were rotting away and dying in their sickness. The smell of death and the smell of sickness would have been all around that place. You know what? You think about it. This man had been there 38 years. Or 38 years rather, sorry, he had been sick. And he had been laying on his porches for some time, but never able to be the one that would get into that pool of mercy at the moving of the waters. I'm sure that in that time, people died on that porch and had to be dragged away and buried. There was people that were sick there all the time. And it would have been, in many respects, a nasty place, a smelly place, a dirty place, an unclean place. But what we read about there, how they would come and they would wait, the Bible says, for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. In other words, stirred up the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. I don't know why or for what reason other than that God cares, but sometimes an angel would come and stir the waters and the first one into that pool would be healed or made whole, the Bible says. Could you imagine being one of those sick or dying people, hoping that someone would help you to be able to get into the pool? Maybe some of them were able enough to sort of drag themselves and hope that they could get into the pool. But some, like this impotent man, the Bible says, was so sick and could not move himself. So disabled, maybe so paralyzed, if you will, and impotent, that he could not get into the pool himself. Could you imagine being a blind person or a crippled person hoping that someone would help you? Notice verse 5 with me, if you would, John 5 and verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. Could you imagine being a man like that, sick for 38 years and hoping for someone to help you? For years hoping to be healed. Maybe he had watched others healed and had helped over the years, but there was no one to help him. Maybe he had given up hope that his life could ever be made better than what it was. But notice what verse 6 says. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou? Will you? Do you want to be made whole? Listen, Jesus knew where he was. This man sick for 38 years, probably ready to give up hope. Probably feeling like, well, no man's ever cared for me. No one's ever been here to help me get into the pool. But Jesus knew right where that man was. Jesus took this trip to the pool of Bethesda. Jesus had a man there that he wanted to help. And Jesus knew his condition. Jesus knew how long he had been there. Jesus knows everything about us also. He knows where you're at. He knows your heart condition. He knows how long you've been that way. He knows the spiritual needs in your life. He knows the other needs in your life. And He's asking you this morning, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Listen, if you're lost in your sin, do you want to be made whole? If you're lost and unsaved and don't know Jesus Christ, do you want to be made whole? This impotent man did not want to stay where he was. I don't think he enjoyed being there. I don't think he enjoyed being on one of those porches just filled with sick and diseased and dying people. I don't think he liked that at all. He did not want to stay where he was. He was tired of living the life of a beggar. I don't think he wanted to remain in his hopeless and helpless and awful condition. But no one had ever done anything to help him change his condition. Notice again John 5. And notice verse 6 and 7. John 5, 6 and 7. When Jesus saw him lying there on the porch and so on, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Think about it. 38 years in trouble, 38 years in filth, 38 years surrounded by disease, unable to do anything, living in hopelessness, and no one had ever helped him into the pool of water. Nobody had ever helped him into the house of mercy. You know, that people that are lost in sin and people that are lost and living in darkness, they're hopeless. There are people with troubled lives. There are people with troubled homes. There are people who are sin sick. And they would like nothing better than to escape, to not have to stay there any longer, to not have to live like that any longer. But so many times, sadly, there has never been someone to lead them to the pool of God's mercy. People that are lost in their sin, people that are dying without Christ, people that have trouble in life and trouble in home and trouble in marriages and just difficulties in life that they don't know how to deal with and don't know how to cope with death and don't know how to cope with relatives dying because they don't have the hope of eternal life. People don't want to stay there. But no one's ever helped lead them to the pool of God's mercy. After 38 years of living on that awful porch, a place of disease and sickness and dying. Of course that man did not want to stay there. But no one had ever helped him to the pool of mercy. People that are lost in sin, people that are in darkness, people with troubled lives, people with no hope for eternity. They don't want to stay that way. But they need someone to help them to come to Jesus so they can be made whole. People who are dying in their sin need someone to bring them to the pool of mercy so that their lives can be changed. The reality is that people have empty, hopeless lives. Listen, people have empty, hopeless lives without the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is empty without Jesus. Life is hopeless without Jesus. And people many times are sitting in the filth of their own sin. They are lost in darkness. They're blind and they cannot see. And they need someone to bring them to the pool of God's mercy. Notice verse 7 with me, if you would. Verse 7. Verse 7. The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. The impotent man, he wanted something better. All those years, he wanted something better. All those years, he hoped for something better. All those years, he would have loved to have been healed. He would have loved to not have to stay there any longer. But there was no man, the Bible says, who cared enough to carry him to the pool. There was blind men that sat on that porch with a similar story. No one to lead them. No one to lead them. Do you know something? Our city is filled with people who are sitting on the porches. They have no hope for the future. They have no hope for eternity. They are lost and they are dying in their sin. They have never had someone show them how Jesus can make them whole. They have never had anyone lead them to the pool of God's mercy. They have never had anyone show them that Jesus Christ has something far better for them and for their life. You see, there is dying people. There are sin-sick people, and they need someone to help them. There are people that are lost in their sin. There are people that have no hope. There are people that have attended funerals and heard people speak words that offer them absolutely no hope. You know what? We sorrow, the Bible says, but we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. When my mom lost her husband, 45 years of age, she was 44. Oh, she sorrowed and she grieved, but she didn't sorrow as those that had no hope. She was able to go to people and tell them, hey, I know that I'm going to see him again in heaven, and I hope that you're going to see him again in heaven. And she was able to take the Bible and able to lead people to Jesus Christ. Why? Because though she sorrowed, she didn't sorrow as those that have no hope. Listen, we who know Jesus Christ in our life, we have something that the world doesn't have. And there are many people that they go to funerals and they hear somebody speak and just the words offer them no hope. They offer them no confidence, no security. There's so many people that don't have hope for eternity. There are people that would be made whole. I think there are people that would like to be made whole. I think there are people that would like to be saved if someone would show them the way. I think there are people that need someone to carry them from the porch of sin to the pool of mercy. People all around us are sitting on the porch of sin and they need someone to help them. Why is it that impotent man had no one to help him? That's one of the saddest things in the whole story. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Nobody to help him. Nobody cares. A man sick for all those years, a man dying for all those years, but no one to help him. Over the years, there were people who had gotten into the pool of Bethesda and been healed. But they must have just walked away, glad for themselves, thankful for their own healing. And they forgot all about the rest of the people still on the porch. Are we guilty of that same thing many times in our own life? We've been brought from the porch of sin to the pool of mercy. We've been saved. We know Jesus Christ. We now have hope in our life. But we just walk away glad and thankful while there's still people on the porch dying and in sin. We've been saved from our sins. We've been made whole. But too many times we don't do anything to help people who still remain on the porch. People who are sin-sick and hopeless. People who are lost and dying and don't know Christ. When God saves us, we should not just walk away from the pool of God's mercy healed and happy and content. Well, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven now. And I can go on my way merrily and I've got a good life now. No, we ought to go back to the porch and help to put somebody else in the pool of mercy. Go back to the porch and help to rescue somebody else. Thank God that you've been saved. Somebody gave the gospel to you. Somehow the message of Jesus Christ came into your life and you've been touched by it and you've been affected by it and you have hope now in your life. But what about those still on the porch who are lost and dying? When God saves us, we should not just walk away from the pool of God's mercy. Content that we're saved and on our way to heaven, we need to care about others to help carry them from the porch of sin to the pool of mercy. Listen, let's not be too busy. Let's not be too self-centered. Let's not be too self-focused to care about others. When we don't look to the concerns of others or don't look to the needs of others, it's because we're looking to ourselves. And I'm okay and I'm good now and I've got what I need. We need to take our eyes off of ourselves and look at those porches that are filled with multitudes of people that are in the same condition that you and I were in before we got saved. The impotent man needed someone who would stop to care. The impotent man needed someone who would stop to care. Are we too busy sometimes to stop to care? Oh, I'm okay. But I'm busy. I'm so busy, I don't have time to help anybody else. I don't have time to talk to anybody else. And are we too busy to stop to care? The impotent man needed someone who would stop to care. He needed someone who would stoop down to help. Are we willing to get ourselves dirty to help others? Are we willing to get ourselves dirty to help others? To stoop down to help. Think, but I wouldn't want to stoop down there. That's a place where there's disease and sickness and all those people, the lives that they live. Are we too proud maybe to stoop down to care? You know, we're better now. I'm such a fine Christian that we can't stoop down to care about a sinner. We've had all kinds of folks come into our church over the years. And God knows my heart. I think we've tried to love every one of them just as much as the other. There's been times where we've had people come into our church. And there's one person that you know, times when we'd visit at their home and so on. If I would just step into their doorway, and I would do more than that. I would sit on their couch with them and talk with them, and I spent a lot of time in their home. But all I would have to do is spend 30 seconds, maybe less than that, in the doorway of their home, and I would need to at some make sure that my clothes that night would all have to go in the wash, because the smell was so thick. You know, of the tobacco and that sort of things, and a person who'd had a life just addicted to smoking. By God's grace, we wanted to help them. There may be times where we think, "Oh, I couldn't do that. I don't want to stoop down to help someone. I don't want to care about someone like that. Why would I want them to come in? They smell." Jesus didn't treat anybody like that. Jesus loved absolutely everybody. Jesus was willing to go to look at those five porches and to be on those five porches. And you know what? I don't think Jesus did it from a distance. "Hey, you up there! You, the impotent one!" And everybody looked. No, Jesus got himself dirty. Jesus was willing to go where it was smelly and unclean and there was disease and sickness and go right into the midst to that person. That person that he went there intentionally for, that one that had a disease for 38 years and nobody had ever helped them and they were ready to give up hope. And Jesus goes to that one and he stoops down to that one lying on the ground. "Sir, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want help?" And Jesus loved that person. We're to love everybody. We're to love everybody, no matter what their condition, no matter what their background, no matter what sins have enslaved them, no matter what addictions maybe have gripped their life, no matter what, we're to love everybody. Times when I was in Bible college, we went into different neighborhoods where poor neighborhoods and poor people and so on, and many times kids that would be dirty and unclean, and sometimes their parents didn't take care of them very well. When I worked on those bus routes in Chicago, you know what? I literally would go into people's homes sometimes on a Sunday morning to help wake up the kids. And, "Hey, you got to get dressed. You got to get ready. It's time for church," and so on. And you would go into homes that were unclean and so on. And smelly. People that were unloved. You'd love them. Like the Bryan family down in Mexico, their children's home, the boys and girls that they take in. Listen, it's not a boarding home for, you know, it's not, what's that college up in Aurora called? It's not that college up, the Pickering College on Bayview Avenue, Aurora. It's not a place where the wealthy send their kids to do something elite. No, the Bryan's boarding homes and the children's homes there in Mexico, it's a place where boys and girls that have been not loved, boys and girls that have been abandoned, boys and girls with prostitute mothers and druggy mothers and people that are on all kinds of addictions. And they say, we don't want our children, or we can't take care of our children. We want nothing to do with them. And they've taken those children and they've loved those children and brought sick children to health and brought children from troubled homes and brought them to places where they are so loved now and they have so much joy and they have so much happiness because there's some Christian people that are loving them like a mom and dad and loving them like Jesus would. Are we too busy to stoop down to help? Or will we care about sinners? Are we too busy to stop to care or too proud maybe to stoop down to help? The impotent man needed someone who would stop to care and stoop to help. He needed someone that would be strong enough in the Lord to be able to help carry him. And I say this about our own selves. We need to be strong in the Lord. We have to be strong in order to help carry others. He needed someone strong to help carry him. Listen, if we're going to help carry others to the pool of mercy, we need to be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in your faith. Grow in your faith. Listen, people are rotting. People are dying in sin. People are lost without Christ because many times we won't stop to care. Can't we stop long enough to witness, to share Christ, to pass out a gospel tract, to take the time to care about someone? Several years ago, there was a nurse at the hospital, and she gave me a call. I didn't know this lady at all, but a nurse in one of the hospitals, she called me and said, Pastor, I want you to come. There's somebody here that's dying in the hospital. I want you to talk to them about Jesus. You know what? I could have made excuses. I could have been too busy with other things. But I'm so glad I went to the hospital to share the gospel with that person. And that person got saved before they died. They ended up dying just in the next few days. Listen, we can't be too busy to stop and care or too proud maybe to stoop down to help. And we've got to be strong enough in the Lord that we can help carry others to the pool of mercy. Listen, it's true today. This is not just a story in the Bible and what a story of a man's sickness. No, it's a story that applies to the condition that people are in spiritually. Spiritually, people are lost and people are dying and people are hopeless and they don't know Jesus Christ. People have troubles in their lives and they don't know what to do. You know what they need? The answer is Jesus Christ. We know the answer. I have the answer. But if I'm too busy to care, or if I won't stop to help, or I won't stoop down to help someone because maybe I think I'm better than they are. They can fend for themselves. Then what a shame on me. Jesus went right to where that sick and dying man was to love him and to care for him. People that are living in sin, people that have just, you know, the troubles that they have in life because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. People that don't have the hope that I have for eternity, they don't want to stay that way. If they knew what I had, they would want what I have. If they could get out of that place, they would. That man didn't want to stay on the porch. He wanted to be healed. He wanted to be helped. People can be helped and changed if we'll help them. We'll care about them. The sad thing is that nobody, this impotent man, the Bible said, I've got no man to help me. I have no man to help me. There was never a man that stopped to care, never a man that would stoop to help, never a man that would strong enough to carry me, never a man that would help bring me to the pool of mercy, the pool of Bethesda. What's the greatest indictment in the whole story is that what about all those people who were healed previously? What about all those years that the man sat on the porch and saw people healed, heard about people being healed, but they walked away healed, happy for themselves, evidently too unconcerned to help others? What a shame it would be on us who know the Lord Jesus Christ in our life to just, well, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm glad for what I've got. But then we just walk away from the pool of mercy and we never go back to the porch of sin to help somebody else. Are you glad you got saved? Are you thankful you know Jesus Christ? Are you glad for the hope that is within you? Are you glad that He changed your life? Well, what about those that still need Him? Can we go back to the porch and try to bring others to the pool of mercy, to the house of mercy? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, ask you, Lord, to convict us. Convict us, Lord, whatever area we need convicting, Lord. Maybe we are someone that is sitting on the porch of sin. Maybe we are someone that's sitting there hopeless and lost, and we don't know Christ. And our life doesn't have the purpose and meaning that it ought to. When we've had loved ones die, we don't have hope. We don't know where they are. We're really uncertain about the future and what eternity is all about. You know, if you're lost in sin and you're troubled by sin, you have the troubles of life, and you don't know Jesus Christ, may I say that He knows where you're at and He cares about you. And He's coming to you on that porch and He's saying, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? If you want to, I can make you whole. If you want to, I can save you. If you're willing to believe on me, if you're willing to trust me, I'll forgive you of your sins. I'll save you. I'll make you whole. I'll make you a child of God. I'll give you a home in heaven for all eternity. If you're on the porch of sin, can I say that Jesus cares about you and He wants to make your life whole? If your life has been made whole now, you've come to Jesus. Somebody maybe helped even to bring you to the pool of mercy. They introduced you to Jesus Christ. They tried to share the gospel with you. Some way, somehow, many of you here this morning were brought from the porch of sin, whether you like to think of that or not. At some point in your life, you were on the porch, but somebody brought you to the pool of mercy. And you were made whole and you got saved and you put your faith in Him. Have you walked away and forgotten about those that are on the porch still? Have we walked away happily, glad for ourselves, busy, but not caring about others that are still on the porch? Father, I pray You'd convict us and change us. Use us. Help us to care. Please, Lord, help us to care about those that still need. They need Christ. They need to be brought to the pool of mercy. Help us to be strong to help them. Help us to stoop to care. Stop to care. Stoop down to help.